But when he came to the church of the Laodiceans, there was not one positive thing that he could say about this church. So there's no question about their spiritual condition. This was a church in a spiritual mess. And unfortunately, the problems in this church are prevalent still today in the majority of the churches that exist in our world. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about Baptist churches, I'm talking about churches of whatever flavor. If you get to studying about the different denominations and the churches that you read about in history, you find that all of them, without exception, have been on a steady decline for a long, long time now. The majority of them, what they once believed and what they once stood for, the things that they adhered to, many of those things have been put aside now for more familiar beliefs and things that are more politically correct and more easy for people to endure. There's been changing for a long, long time in our churches. So the things that you read about here in the church of the Laodiceans, you're still seeing this prevalent in our churches today. And not only are these problems prevalent in churches, but they're also prevalent in the lives of individual believers. With that in mind, here in the next few moments, there's some things that I want to point out about the church of the Laodiceans. Some things I want you to notice from what Jesus said here in the verses that we just read. I want us to start by looking at verse number 14, which is really the Lord's introduction to the letter that he had sent to this church. And the first thing that I see from what he says in verse number 14 is that this church was lorded over by the people. It was lorded over by the people. Y'all listening to me this morning? Y'all paying attention this morning? Y'all look at me now. Y'all don't go to sleep on me yet. I ain't even got to the first point yet. Y'all liven up. Pay attention. This church was lorded over by the people. How do we know that? Well, take a look here at what it says in verse number 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. First of all, the word Laodicea means the rights of the people, or it means civil rights. So that is the title for this church, and really that's what this church was about. It was one of their major problems, is that the people were in charge of the church. Another reason you know that is because notice how the Lord addressed this church. Look at what he says. Is it all right with y'all if I loosen my tie this morning? That'd be all right. Well, I appreciate y'all letting me do that. It says in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church, notice, of the Laodiceans. Now, why is that interesting? Well, look back, if you would, to the beginning of chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And the first church that the Lord addressed was the church at Ephesus. And I want you to notice what it says, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, Jesus speaking, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. It does not say unto the angel of the church of the Ephesians, does it? It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. In other words, this is directed to the church there in the city of Ephesus. Now look down at verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Look at verse number 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos. Look at verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Do you see that? Each time it's to the church in, to the church in that city. But when he comes to the church in the city of Laodicea, how does he address that church? He doesn't say, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church in Laodicea, does he? He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. He's saying this church here belongs to the people. It's all about them. Jesus is acknowledging the fact that he was not in control of the church, that the qualified leadership was not in control of the church. The people were in control of the church. That was one of the big problems in the church of Laodicea. That's why they were such a spiritual mess, because the church was being run by the people instead of qualified leadership. And I know that may not set real well in the day and time in which we live, but here's what you need to bear in mind. Each one of these churches here spiritually represent the condition of the church at different points in the church age. The church of Laodicea, the one here that we're talking about, this is the seventh and final church. So what you have here is a picture of the condition that the church is going to be in just prior to the rapture of the church. And what you're seeing here is that this church has devolved into a church controlled by the people. And that is the problem, a problem with the majority of the churches that are in our world today. They're being run by the people. So what's wrong with that? Well, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. What's wrong with that is that, according to the Bible, is not God's established order. That's not the way God said it's supposed to be. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, amen? So ultimately, who is to be in control of the church? The Lord. And the church is to be subject unto him in all things. That's what the Bible says. But not only is he the head and he to have the ultimate control, but he has given us orders in his word. He has said that qualified men, bishops, elders, pastors, they are to have the spiritual rule in the church. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's not something Brother Keith's making up. I'm not getting anything on the side by saying this to you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. These people are to have the spiritual rule in the church. The church is not to be run. In most of our churches, majority rules. Right? That's how that thing works. And I'm telling you, whether you want to accept it or believe it or not, one of the big reasons why our churches are in such a spiritual mess today is because our churches are being run by a bunch of baby carnal Christians that don't know a thimbleful of the Bible, instead of a qualified man of God that is leading that church according to the principles of the Word of God. And listen, folks, it doesn't matter how good we have it financially. It doesn't matter how good we have it materially. There is no possible way for our church or any other church to be what God wants it to be unless we do things the way God says they're supposed to be done. That's my concern, okay? It's not about me trying to grab some authority for myself or something like that, or for any other preacher for that matter. I don't have that desire in my heart. What my desire is for our church right here, New Hope Baptist Church, to be everything that God wants it to be. Amen? Amen. Listen, if that's not our desire, then we've missed the mark somewhere. We are seriously off base. We're headed down the wrong road. If it's not the desire of every one of us to have this church set up and established the way God says for it to be set up and established. So I want us to be sure that we always recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of this church and always keep in mind what he said about who is to have the spiritual rule in the church. Now, let me say this real quick before I move on. Not only is this a problem in a lot of churches, what I'm talking about here is also a problem in the lives of a lot of individual Christians. There are a lot of Christians. You say, what are you talking about? Well, this is it. There are a lot of Christians today who are in charge of their lives. You don't know what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ is not their Lord. Now, he's their Savior, okay? There was a time in their life when they recognized they were lost and on their way to hell and understood that Jesus Christ was their only hope of going to heaven, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ to save them from hell. They did that, so he is their Savior. But there is a big difference. And this is a jump that a lot of Christians never take in their spiritual life. But there is a big difference between him being your Savior and him being your Lord. What does it mean for Jesus Christ to be your Lord? It means that he's in charge. It means that he is in absolute control of your life, that you are subject to him, that you acknowledge his headship and his lordship at all times, and you don't just live your life doing your thing without regard for him. It means you let go of the reins. You wave the white flag of surrender and give your whole entire being to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the lordship of Christ is all about. For a lot of Christians, Jesus Christ is not on the throne. They're on the throne. They're like the church of the Laodiceans. They're in charge. It's all about me and my rights and what I want and what I want to do with my life and how I'm going to live and that sort of thing. And they just plan out their life and they do their own thing without regard for God and his will. They're just doing every man that which is right in his own eyes, what they want, as opposed to doing what the Lord says they ought to do. And listen, folks, just like a church can't be right if Jesus isn't in charge, you do understand this morning there is no way your life is ever going to be what it needs to be without Jesus being in charge. You understand that? He's got to have control. Not just be your Savior, not just the one that keeps you from going to hell, but the one who is in complete control of every single area. Okay, not just a few areas, but every single area. Here's what I see with a lot of Christians. They're willing to surrender certain areas of their life. And those are usually areas where they don't have a whole lot of interest. They're not too involved, and it really doesn't matter to them what the Lord does with those areas of their life. But they got these other areas, things that mean a whole lot to them. And in their mind, they've mapped it all out and got their plans and their direction and what they want to do with their life. And because those areas mean so much to them, they're not willing to surrender those areas. You ever heard the old expression, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all? You ever heard that? What I'm telling you is that he's not the Lord of your life if you've only given him a few areas of your life. He's the Lord of your life when you give him every area of your life. Where you surrender. You say, Lord, I'm going to give it all to you, every bit of it. You will be in charge of my life from this point forward as long as I'm down here on this earth. That's letting Jesus Christ be Lord. And that's the way your life, that's the way my life has to be in order for our lives to be what the Lord intends for them to be. So the first problem I see in the church here is that it was lorded over by the people. The people were in control. Number two, let's look at something else here in verses 15 and 16. Not only was it lorded over by the people, but in verses 15 and 16, I see that it was lukewarm in temperature. Lukewarm in temperature. Look at verse number 15. Jesus says, I know thy works, and he does, doesn't he? He knows your works as an individual. He knows our works as a church. He knows all about us, and the Bible says that he will give to every man according to his works. We will one day answer to God for how we have conducted ourselves down here on this earth. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It was a church lorded over by the people. It was also a church lukewarm in temperature. That's what Jesus said there in verse number 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm. You know what lukewarm is? Lukewarm is in the middle, right? It's not hot. And it's not cold, it's just right in the middle. That's what lukewarm is. And this was the condition of this church. This is the condition of a lot of churches today. They are lukewarm. They're not just completely given over to the world. They're not completely dead. They're not what Jesus would refer to as cold. They haven't given up all of the things that they believe. They haven't turned completely away from the Word of God. They're still holding on to a few things. But at the same time, they're not hot either. They're not completely on fire for the Lord. They haven't utterly renounced the world, completely given up the world. I mean, just turned their back on the world, lock, stock, and barrel, and said, look, this is the way God wants this church to be, and this is how we're going to do it, and we're going to be excited, and we're going to have some zeal, and we're going to be on fire. They're not there either. You know where they are? Where most churches are at? Dare I say, with the possibility of hurting feelings, that's where our church is at. Is it a possibility? I mean, listen to me, folks. We're not going to get any help here if I stand up here and pat you on the back and tell you everything's all right around here. And I hope to God that ain't what you come here to hear this morning. And I'm not going to get up here and tell you what I think you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, I believe we got some room to heat up around here a little bit. I don't believe we're nowhere near about on fire like the Lord wants us to be. I'm including myself and everybody I'm looking at this morning, okay? We all in this thing together, aren't we? We are the church here, New Hope Baptist Church. We're a group of believers here that assembled together. We're in this thing together, and I'm telling you this morning because I love you, I believe we got some room to heat up around here. I don't believe that we're on fire like we need to be. Now, we're not cold, I don't believe. I don't believe we're cold, but I don't believe we're hot either. I fear that we're just like this church here. We're just kind of in the middle, just lukewarm. And I'm telling you something about that lukewarm business. What will happen when a church gets to that place and it'll just settle in there? It'll just become contented with how things are. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we don't like change. And let me say something to you, folks. If you're cold or you're lukewarm, either one, to get hot, guess what? There's going to have to be some changing going on. And change is not something that we like. We kind of get settled in, and we got our lives laid out, our churches laid out, and we like it to stay just like this because if I change, then that means I'm going to have to rearrange some stuff in my life. It means we're going to have to rearrange some stuff around here in order to get to where we need to be. But listen, folks, listen. I've never known anybody who was willing to make the change that later on regretted making the change. If we can get to the place where the Lord wants us to be on fire, be hot, I don't believe we'll ever regret the change that we have to make. Whatever it might be. So here's a church, it's lukewarm in temperature, in the middle. Folks, I don't want us to be satisfied with that. Do you? I don't want to be satisfied with being lukewarm. I don't want to be that way. I mean, let me show you something here, just a couple of things before we move on. First of all, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ would rather us be cold than lukewarm. Look at it in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot. One or the other. You know what he's saying? Make up your mind. I want you to be one or the other. I don't want you to be in the middle. Y'all follow me? He would rather us be cold than lukewarm. Now, ultimately, his perfect will is for us to be hot, right? But if we're not going to be hot, if we're just going to say, look, I don't want to be hot. I don't want to do what is necessary for our church to be hot. I'm not willing to make the change myself. And by the way, how does a church change? I'll tell you how it changes. One believer at a time. That means you have to be willing to change. You, me. Each one of you, are you willing to change? You got to be willing for this church to get to where God wants it to be. What Jesus says, look, if you're not willing to make that change, if you've just decided we're going to stay like this, we're not going to be hot, which is what he wants, then he'd rather us be cold. That's what he says. Am I reading it right? That's what he said. That's just how much he despises lukewarmness. People in the middle, got a little religion, got a little world, just kind of having what we call fence straddling Christianity, you know. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. You know, we're not going to utterly leave the world, but we're not going to just sell out lock, stock, and barrel to God. We're just going to stay right here in the middle. That's where most are, and Jesus despises that so much. So look at what he says in verse 6. He says, or 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Just makes him sick. That's how he feels about a lukewarm church. Just makes him sick. Nothing about it does he like. Nothing. And that brings me to a third thing that I want to say this morning. They were lorded over by the people. They were lukewarm in their temperature. A third thing I see here in verse 17 is that they were lost. Lost to their true condition. Lost to their true condition. Look at verse 17. Here's what they said. Because thou sayest I am rich. They were doing fine. Financially, they were doing fine financially. They were doing fine materially. They had that. And look, as far as I can tell, we're doing fine financially here at this church. Amen? And I'm not bragging about that, okay? I'm not trying to stand up here and give a financial statement about our church, but I'm just telling you, if you look at the last financial statement that Brother Rouse handed out for a small church with no more membership than we have, we're doing real, real well financially. And I'm thankful for that, okay? That means there's some people that are giving. Praise God for folks that will give to the work of God. That's a good thing. This church here was doing well financially. My point is that just because a church is doing well financially does not mean they are doing well spiritually. This is a church that was doing fine. And I'm not trying to be negative. I just don't want us to lose focus and get to thinking in a way we don't need to think. I don't want us to think in our mind that because we're doing all right financially that we got all our ducks in a row spiritually. Because we don't. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Look at this. And have need of nothing. We don't need anything. We got everything we need financially. Material. We're fine. We're doing just fine. That's what they said. That's what they believed. But here's what Jesus said. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What he had to say about them was a heap sight different than what they said about themselves. A lot different. Who you reckon was right and who was wrong in their assessment of this church? Them or the Lord? The Lord's always right. So what he had to say was their true condition. Yeah, they were fine financially. They were fine materially. But they were a mess spiritually. Nowhere even close to where the Lord wanted them to be. So they were lost to their true condition. They did not recognize just how messed up they were. A lot of churches are that way. A lot of churches think they got it going on and do not realize just how abysmal they are, spiritually speaking, in the eyes of God. Right. They think because we got a whole bunch of people coming. You know what Paul talks about in the last days? He says people will suppose that gain is godliness. Isn't that what he said? And a lot of churches, because they got a big bank account and they got a big attendance and all these different ministries and stuff going on, they'll think, we got it going on around here, and not even realize how messed up they are spiritually. Not even realizing. Just lost. Hey, I'm going to tell you, this is a problem that's not just prevalent in churches. There's a lot of us Christians that don't realize how messed up we are sometimes. We think way more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The Bible says that when a man thinks he's something when he is nothing. He deceives himself. And there's a lot of folk today, a lot of saved people, they think they're something. They're God's gift to the world and the church and everybody. We got it going on and do not realize how far off base they are spiritually. Clueless. How does something like that happen, by the way? How does a church get to the point where they don't realize their true condition? How does an individual get to the place and stay in the place for years and years where they don't realize how messed up they are? Well, I'm going to tell you one way that happens. A lack of time in the Word of God. You know what James says about the Bible? The Apostle James said about the Bible, he said that when a person reads the Bible, when they look into the perfect law of liberty, that they are like a natural man beholding his face in a glass. Isn't that what he says? What James is saying is that the Bible is like a looking glass. We call it a mirror is what we call it. And most all of us have at least a mirror in our homes, don't we? Most of us have several mirrors in our home. Some ladies even take mirrors around in their purses with them. And now every vehicle that comes out on the market, all you got to do is flip down the visor. There's your mirror so you can look at yourself. What I'm saying is we are accustomed to looking in mirrors. And you know what looking in a mirror does for you? It shows you your real condition, doesn't it? Not what you think about yourself. I mean, have you ever got ready and did your hair and put your clothes on and all that and thought, man, I'm looking sharp here. And then looked in the mirror and saw a stain on your shirt that you didn't realize was there? Maybe a booger in your nose, something like that? Some crumbs in your beard or something? You know what I'm saying? You think you got it all together. But you know the problem? You hadn't looked in the mirror yet. When you look in that mirror, you say, whoa, man, I need to fix that. That doesn't look just right, okay? Well, what happens when you don't spend time, when a church is not spending time in the Word of God, when they're not being taught, when the Bible's not being preached, you know what happens over a period of time? They fail to realize their true condition. When you break open this Bible and you start reading that Bible and going verse by verse and teaching that Bible and somebody preaching that Bible all the time, you know what God does? He shows you your true condition. And the same is true in your own life as an individual. You spend time in this Bible and the Lord will show you those areas in your life where you need to change. I'm telling you a big reason why people are lost to how they really are is because they're not spending time in the Bible. They're not doing it on their own, and they're not going to a church where they're getting fed the Scripture. So they don't realize how they really are. Lost to their true condition. Number four, I got just a couple more and I'll be done. Number four, and this is a really bad one, verse number 20, this is a church that left Jesus out. Just left Jesus out. In verse number 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where's Jesus at? Is he in or out? He's out. He's just standing out there knocking on the door. The head of the church, the one who's to have the preeminence, the one who's to be in control, the one that church is supposed to be all about, okay? I mean, the last time I checked, church is supposed to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And where's he at? He's standing on the outside knocking. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We can have some fellowship. If there's just somebody in there, if somebody will just open the door, I'll come in and at least with that individual, I'll have some fellowship with that person. I'll sup with him and he with me. We'll have some fellowship. Standing at the door knocking. They left Jesus out. They exchanged the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for political correctness. For contemporary services, rock and roll bands, and people dancing around in leotards. And if you think I'm exaggerating it, you'd look at some of that. I'm telling you, that's the mess going on in a lot of our churches today. Wouldn't y'all like to see Brother Keith in a leotard? Wouldn't it be beautiful if I danced around in a little tutu up here in the front? That'd be quite the sight, wouldn't it? Well, just let me say something to you. Just how disgusted you would be in that. It's just how disgusted God is when anybody does it. That stuff doesn't make the Lord happy at all. We've given up the presence of the Lord for our programs, our plans, the traditions of men. Oh, we've always done it around here. I don't care how many years it's been done. If it's wrong, it doesn't need to be done anymore. We need to do what the Lord says for us to do. Left the Lord Jesus Christ out. A lot of Christians doing the same thing in their life. And I understand that once Jesus comes in, positionally speaking, he seals you. He's in there, and you can't put the Lord out of your body. I understand that. But from a practical perspective, you can leave Jesus out of your life as a believer. From a practical perspective. You can, like we talked earlier, you just take control of your life, turn away from the Lord, you do your own thing and not let him have control. And a lot of Christians have done that. You know where the Lord is at with those Christians today? He's just knocking at the door. You know what he wants? The same thing he's always wanted. He wants to have fellowship with you. That's what he wants. He desires to have that fellowship with you. So he stands and he knocks and he's just waiting. He says, if you're willing, if you'll just open that door, I'll come in. I'll have fellowship with you. The fellowship we once had, that fellowship that once was so sweet that we enjoyed, I'll have that with you again. We can have that together if you'll just let me back in your life. That's what he desires. And here's the last thing, and I'll be done. And this is a positive thing here. I see in verse number 19 that this was a church that was loved by the Lord. Loved by the Lord. Verse 19, Jesus says, as many as I love. You know what he's saying to these people? He's saying, I love you. You're my people. I love you. Even though they were in a mess, he still loved them. Isn't it good to know this morning that his love is unconditional? I'm glad he loves us even when we let our lives get in a mess spiritually. I've been down that road, okay? I've been down that road. Many of you understand what I'm talking about. And it's so good to know that that love is unconditional. Now, here's the thing. I don't believe he likes us so much when we get in that kind of shape. He certainly doesn't approve of what's going on in our life or in our church, but he still loves us. But here's the thing you best not forget about the Lord's love. His love oftentimes is what we call a tough love. Look at what he said in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You get out of line in your life as an individual and you don't get back in line, I can tell you what he's going to do because he loves you. He's going to chastise you. And I can tell you that as a church, if we get out of line, if we don't get in line, he will chastise us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And here's his solution to the problem, and this is it, verse 19. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know how you get things straight in your life when they get all messed up? You repent. The problem's not with the Lord. If we have a problem, would y'all agree with me? If we have a problem in our church, it's not his fault. Y'all agree with that? So we need to repent. If there's a problem in my life, if I'm not letting him be Lord, if I have backslidden, if I've left him out of my life to where I'm not fellowshipping with him, if I've turned my back on him and just took control of my life, doing my own thing, you know what you have to do to change that situation? You got to repent. Are you willing to do what is necessary this morning so that our church and our lives can be what God wants them to be? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the opportunity to be here, and I thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, all I can do is ask that you help each one of us be willing to make whatever changes are necessary so that our church and our lives can be what you want them to be. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.